Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, Packers-Giants in the NFC wildcard game is just right around the corner now, Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field. And as we traditionally have done in our final show of the week, we talk about keys to victory for the Green Bay Packers with this matchup. Where do you want to start?
Field position, Mike. Mike McCarthy has talked about it all year long, winning the field position battle, winning the time of possession battle. When you look at the New York Giants, this is something they've done really well this year. The thing that stands out to me, and it flew kind of under the radar this week, is the fact that Brad Wing has punted 93 times this season.
Wow.
Comparatively speaking, Jake Shum has punted 56 times. But the thing is with the Giants is even when they haven't been able to get their offense going and they have had to punt, they've been able to change the field position. Their defense has been able to defend. That's why this has worked so well for New York. That's how they've gotten to 11 wins. All year long, Mike McCarthy talked about winning the field position battle. They really need to do it on Sunday.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And another thing that I looked at this week that I didn't realize just how good the Giants were in this category, and it speaks somewhat to field position, is their red zone defense. They are number one in the league in red zone defense, and not just number one in terms of they only allow touchdowns on 39.5% of red zone possessions. But there's only one other team in the league that is even better than 45% in that category. I mean, they are number one in the league by a fairly significant margin when it comes to these statistics. And I believe that the Packers will be able to move the ball, move the chains, get first downs against this Giants defense. The way Green Bay's offense is playing right now, I don't bet against them. But when you combine what you're talking about with field position, where a drive is going to start, and then being able to finish drives when you get in the red zone as opposed to kicking field goals, I think a lot of that goes hand in hand in terms of how many points the Packers will be able to score in this game.
Yeah, that's a great point, Mike. And really, when you look at Steve Spagnuolo's defense, it's a 4-3 base. But there are some similar concepts to what Dom Capers does. And if you think about it, I think one of the things that really doesn't get enough credit for the defense in Green Bay is how they play red zone defense and being able to stretch a team out, make them go the long way to the end zone. The more times, the more plays an offense has to utilize, the better your possibility and your percentages of turning over the football. That's something that the Giants have done well this year. 17 interceptions, just like Green Bay, tied for fourth most in the league. You look at their opposing passer rating is the second best in the league, only behind Denver. So it's interesting to me when you look at the Giants. Yeah, their offense hasn't always been a big powerhouse, but defensively, they don't give the opposing team a lot of opportunities. And when they do have them, they make them go the whole length of the field. And I think that's one of the reasons they've been in the position they are at this point in the season.
Yeah, some of those numbers really statistically jump out at you when you realize that, as you said, the Giants are number two in the league in terms of opposing passer rating, 78.5?
Close, 75.8.
75.8, yep. Okay, got my numbers transposed there. 75.8. And you look at the way Aaron Rodgers is playing, that over the last five, six games, his passer rating is 120 in that range. That's 40-plus points difference between how he's playing and this defense that he's going up against. I don't know if I've ever come across a game when we get to this stage of the season where you look at numbers like that and there's such a huge discrepancy. It really is the matchup of the game when it comes right down to it.
The unstoppable force, the immovable object. I think that's the third time I've said it on this show and maybe the first time I actually got it correct. But it really is, it comes down to that. When you look at the way, there's 122 per passer rating. Is that what it was over the last five games?
Yeah.
When he was with the NFC Offensive Player of the Month? I don't know the exact statistics, maybe you do off the top of your head, as far as how the Packers are performing in the red zone, but it seems to me like they really have done a good job of finishing this season. They haven't had to settle for a lot of those 20 to 30 yard field goals. They've been able to punch it in the end zone because of the wide array of guys that they can turn to, and I think some really good concepts too that have helped in that way. Seeing that match up with what the Giants have done and the, some of the stuff that you laid out, I think that is going to be one of the main factors of this game is when you do get those chances, when you are having an opportunity to put seven on the board, not only do you take care of the football, but you also finish the darn thing.
Yeah, the Packers have definitely done a good job of finishing drives lately, but I'll also throw this in there. Sometimes finishing that drive with a touchdown just comes down to number 12. That play in Detroit, it's third and nine on the 10-yard line. that's do or die in terms of touchdown or having to settle for a field goal. And Rodgers does the, you know, stop and start, scramble to the left, and fires the ball to Geronimo Allison. I mean, yes, that's finishing a drive and getting a touchdown, but that's pretty much one guy getting that job done. It wasn't schematic. It wasn't efficient necessarily. It was a guy making a play in a big moment. Aaron Rodgers is going to have to make a couple three of those type of plays on Sunday afternoon, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think so. And also that offensive line. I know Roger. I think T.J. Lang was asked about that this week, and the fact that I think the offensive line had to block for like 8 or 9 seconds on that one pass to Allison to keep that alive. So it's about everybody understanding that that internal clock is obviously what the Packers are working off of, but sometimes you're going to break from that, and when you do, you need to make the big play happen.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, Wes, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Wes Hodkowitz there, Mike Spofford right here. And Wes, as we continue to break down Packers-Giants here heading into Sunday afternoon's wildcard playoff game, a lot of people like to toss around the term X factor, especially when it comes to a big game and a postseason game. It can mean a lot of different things, obviously, but if you were to pick an X factor or two in this matchup here coming up at Lambeau Field, what do you got?
I think I start with Ty Montgomery, Mike. This is, you have to remember, the first time the Packers took on the Giants, Montgomery really wasn't a big part of the offense yet at that point. Actually, he only had one touch. It was actually one carry he had against the Giants for 1 yard. They just started sort of experimenting with him a little bit and trying to make that conversion to the backfield. Eddie Lacy was a featured back in this game. And for the Packers right now, seeing what Montgomery has done in spurts this season, he's flashed really bright in a lot of cases, and I think sometimes been the difference between a win and a loss, you know, with his performance. So seeing what kind of dimension he adds to this game, I mean, Ben McAdoo's familiar with it. He was in Green Bay when they were using Randall Cobb in the backfield.
Right.
But I think Montgomery, in seeing the 1-2 punch with him and Aaron Ripkowski, you know, a dash of Kristen Michael, I would think that they could potentially be that running back combo that the Packers need to succeed in the postseason.
Yeah, and for the X factor side of things, I'm going to flip to the other side of the ball on defense. And I've just, you know me, I have my hunches. And I just have a hunch that HaHa Clinton Dix is going to play a big role in this game. And I just look at it from the standpoint of whether it's being the deep safety help on a guy like OBJ, being maybe a guy that Dom Capers wants to dial up a blitz to get after Eli Manning, who's not the most mobile, escapable guy in the pocket. And, you know, HaHa's played the type of season he's shown he can be anywhere. He can be extra support against the run. He can be the center fielder. I just see him as a guy with as banged up as the Packers are at cornerback, and some guys are getting healthier, but still that there are some injury issues there, and I just think that safety spot number 21 making his first Pro Bowl this year, I think he could play a really big role in this ball game.
I like how you did it this time too. You stated a player, but you kept it kind of ambiguous. You know, the last few times you've had these hunches, you've been Micah Hyde's taking back a punt return for a touchdown. If you would have just said Micah Hyde's gonna have a big performance, you would have been golden.
Yeah, I know.
He had the interceptions late in the season. He stepped up with a big pass deflection in Chicago. He's played really well, and you called that. You just went a little bit too far. So to just say that, you know, HaHa Clinton Dix is going to have a well-rounded, solid game, for one, I agree with you. I think that's a good prediction. And two, if you do look at Clinton Dix's production in the postseason, he hasn't been there a lot, but he's played really well in these games. He had the two interceptions in the NFC title game in 14. Last year had a big pick in Arizona. It seems like he's been kind of tailor-made for these kind of contests. So for the Packers to succeed, especially depending on what shakes out at cornerback, they are going to need a big day in production, you know, from their former first-round pick.
Yeah, and I like what you said as well about Montgomery on offense, not only because he was a guy, the Packers' running game was obviously didn't involve him the first time the Giants and Packers played because Eddie Lacy was still playing at that time. So I think it's worth mentioning another guy who didn't play offensively when the Packers and Giants met for the first time, and that's tight end Jared Cook. And we've talked about him a lot in recent weeks in terms of his impact, not only the catches he makes, the attention that he's drawing from defenses. This is a completely different wrinkle or whatever you want to call it that the Giants have to prepare for in this game that wasn't really a part of things back in October.
Yeah, and if you look at kind of the sabermetric analytics of the Giants defense, they're basically top five, top ten against every position in the league except for tight end. I think it's Football Outsiders has him credited right now as 26th against NFL tight ends. So if there is an opportunity for the Packers offense, I think a lot of it could stem from being able to get Cook going. Let's be honest, Mike, and you've seen it too. Since he came back against Washington, this offense is different. Now Aaron Rodgers is playing out of his mind. Jordy Nelson, as you've pointed out in some of your stories, is all the way back now. But the thing is Jared Cook, in the way that he can stretch a field and the multitude of ways that they can use him, you want to talk about an X factor. He is the X factor. And I think going into this playoff run, his first postseason run, there's going to be ways for Mike McCarthy, you know, Edgar Bennett, this offense to utilize him and really incorporate him into the big picture.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too. I just realized as we're discussing this, talking about Montgomery and Cook on offense, these are two guys who could play pretty big roles on Sunday, and they're both going to be making their postseason debuts. Right. Montgomery was injured last year and was not part of the postseason run in 2015, and as we've talked about Jared Cook now in his eighth NFL season getting into the postseason for the first time, there's going to be a lot of emotions and nerves and all that kind of stuff to keep in check. I mean, all these guys, I don't care how many playoff games they've been in, there are going to be nerves. There's going to be that nervous energy that goes with a game like this. But for these guys getting in the postseason for the first time, that's really something they need to be aware of and kind of understand that it's natural for it to happen, but you have to figure out a way to handle it.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about that. And Mike McCarthy said, I mean, they talk with their young guys about this all the time and really showing them that, you know, this is something that we're hoping is a part of the culture here. We want this to keep continuing. And if that's going to be the case, you need to step up. And I think when Sunday comes, when game day starts, these guys are going to be ready for it, whether it's an eight-year vet like Cook or, you know, a rookie that's going to be doing it for the first time.
All right, sounds good. Well, with that, we'll throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, we haven't talked about it much this week, but it's going to be a bit of a story come Sunday afternoon, and that's the weather that's hit Green Bay this week. It's gotten awful cold out there, and it's not going to be as cold on Sunday as it is right now as we're taping this show, but they're talking about a high on Sunday of like maybe the low teens, and with kickoff at 3:40 Central, that sun's going to be going down in the second quarter. It's not going to be balmy out there by any stretch.
No, on a personal level, someone who's lived in Green Bay for 29 years now, this has been a terrible winter. Like, we've had these big episodes of snow, which some of you, if you've been watching the games, have seen. We've had these really long stretches of, like, zero-degree weather, minus 20-degree wind chills. I was walking into the office today with Michael Atkinson, our video producer from Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland gets a share of winter weather, too, and he's like, this has been brutal. I never was prepared for this when I came up here. And that's still the Midwest, basically. So this whole year has been really weird, and the Packers have caught the brunt of it. When you think to the game against Houston and Seattle and when they were down in Chicago, I mean, they've had some really terrible weather games. And as Mike McCarthy said, when they practiced outside and having the Hudson Center doors open on Thursday, was one of the coldest practices he's ever conducted. So, it's going to be a factor. But I'll say this, if it's going to happen, the Packers are well conditioned for it at this point.
Yeah, the Packers have certainly played more cold weather games than the Giants have. I know that second time this year when the Giants beat the Cowboys, that was a primetime game out in New Jersey. That one looked like it was pretty cold. Yeah. I don't know if it was as cold as, say, the Chicago game was for Green Bay. So the Giants certainly not strangers to the cold, but the Packers have had their fair share of experience in it this year. And as we've talked about before, as Mike McCarthy talks about all the time, handling the football in the conditions really is the key. And the fact that the Packers have played this many cold weather games, and I keep going back to it because it's the only turnover they've had during the stretch. It was the one fumbled snap against the Houston Texans. Otherwise, no turnovers on offense or special teams for the Packers through this stretch. And given the conditions they've been playing in, that's been a big part of what they've been able to accomplish, and it has to keep going when you're looking at what the weather's going to be on Sunday.
Yeah, right, Mike. And I don't want to take anything away from that fumble in Houston because it counts. You can't erase it, but it was kind of a fluke. I mean, just basically a botched exchange. Otherwise, it's not like it was a designed run and the ball came out. I think Edgar Bennett, Ben Sherman's receivers coach, Luke Getsy,
yeah,
have done a phenomenal job of reinforcing that this year. Fumbles were an issue for the Packers last season. I mean, that was one of the reasons why Sermons was brought in here to help correct that. And given the multitude of players that they've used at those positions, guys that are new to this system, whether it's Jared Cook, whether it is Ty Montgomery, who's new to the running back position, they've done a phenomenal job of protecting the football. It doesn't matter if you don't keep it going on Sunday, but up until this point of the season, I mean, that's one of the reasons they've been able to change that turnover margin in the second half of the season is how well they've protected the football.
Yeah, and we've seen in a couple of these cold games at Lambeau Field how just a couple of little things can change the game. We saw the Houston Texans drop a couple of passes that would have moved the chains for first downs in what turned out to be a very close game. We saw passes bouncing off the hands of Seattle Seahawks players that the Packers were turning into interceptions. All it takes in a playoff game, one or two of those can completely swing a ball game. It's just there's so much on every play and everything that happens, and the weather, one way or another, the weather is going to play a factor.
Yeah, and I thought one more thing that was interesting, talking to some of the guys in the locker room on Thursday, how much they said this should be an advantage for us, though. Their team's coming into Lambeau Field, whether it's this game or if it's potentially the NFC title game, it needs to be our advantage. I think that's something the Packers are aware of. As Jared Cook pointed out, though, hopefully it's just not quite as cold as it was on Thursday.
Yeah, the Packers trying to embrace that home field advantage while they have it, even as difficult as it was to practice out there in that bitter cold on Thursday. But with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we take a look at, in our final segment here, the other wild card games on the opening playoff weekend. I know a lot of Packers fans, NFC fans, will certainly have their eyes on the Lions and Seahawks on Saturday night. But I want to touch on the games in the AFC first real briefly. And when you look at Oakland against Houston, Miami against Pittsburgh, three out of four of those teams kind of playing a game of quarterback roulette or whatever you want to call it. You know, the Texans, Brock Osweiler, then Tom Savage, now back to Brock Osweiler. The Raiders going with a third stringer with both Derek Carr and Matt McGloin getting injured. And then the Dolphins going with Matt Moore in the wake of the injury to Ryan Tannehill. It's hard not to see the Pittsburgh Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger as the only one of those four teams as a legitimate threat to the Chiefs or the Patriots, the two teams with the byes in the AFC.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you look at the stability factor, certainly Pittsburgh gets the edge there. Me personally, I've always been a big Matt Moore fan. I was always impressed with him. I think he handled the situation really well in Miami. He was the guy for that one season, and then they end up bringing in Tannehill and has been the number two there and done a fine job at that. Now, we'll see if he's going to be able to do it consistently enough to get on a run here. But I think that when you look at the quarterback, that scenario and that carousel, that probably is the best situation as far as out of those three teams. Connor Cook, a rookie from Michigan State, he fell to the fourth round. There were some questions about him there and how he's going to be able to kind of rally the troops, but we'll have to see what happens. You're not going to replace Derek Carr. You have to find ways to circumvent that. That's something that the Raiders are going to have to deal with. And then Brock Osweiler getting back in the quarterback reins again in Houston, and it'll be interesting to see how he responds after getting benched in favor of Tom Savage.
Yeah, definitely. On the NFC side, Lions and Seahawks on Saturday night in Seattle, just to lay out the scenario as far as it pertains to the Packers game on Sunday. If the Lions win in Seattle, Detroit will go to Dallas next weekend, and the Packers-Giants winner will go to Atlanta. If the Seahawks hold serve at home and win, the Seahawks would go to Atlanta, and the Packers-Giants winner would go to Dallas next Sunday. So if you're a Packers fan and you're holding out any hope to have another home playoff game, which would be the NFC Championship in the third weekend of the playoffs, you're pulling for the Lions to win a couple of games here, because if the Lions win twice and the Packers win twice, the NFC Championship is Detroit and Green Bay at Lambeau Field. But that's the only way the Packers get another home game throughout this whole scenario.
Yeah, it kind of reminds you a little bit of when you, you know, Big Ten football, right? You go the whole year, you're fighting up against all these teams, and once the bowl season comes around, you're cheering for the Big Ten. You want to see them do well. You want to have that pride. Well, in the Packers' case also, this is also could be the difference between having an NFC title game at home or having to travel. Now, that's really far down the line, but those are the kind of things you have to kind of have in the back of your mind a little bit, because certainly there's a big difference between having a game at Lambeau or potentially going to CenturyLink Field. For the Lions, though, this is a challenge. I mean, this is the biggest thing that I thought came out of that North Division Championship. The Packers now playing at home, 340, and, you know, the Lions having to go now to CenturyLink Field on a short week, their second consecutive short week. That's going to be a mighty challenge for them. They reinforced this week that Jim Caldwell is going to be the head coach going forward. That's kind of, you know, set aside. But still, this is going to be a big challenge for the Lions in trying to get their first postseason win in how long?
Yeah, I
20 some years.
Yeah, it's been a long time. The one thing I will say, and I agree with you as far as the challenge that Detroit faces here with being on a short week for the second week in a row and a long flight out to the West Coast. The last time the Lions played in Seattle, it was a Monday night game, and if not for the blown call by the official on the batted ball out the back of the end zone on the fumble, the Lions probably would have won that game. A lot of that wasn't that long ago. A lot of those Lions players were a part of that. I don't think they'll be intimidated going into Seattle, because playing there in a primetime game in that noisy place and playing as well as they did that night, I think that says something.
Blown call in Seattle. I've never heard of that one before.
Yeah, where did that come from? But all right, with that, a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.